Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
I wonder if my next guest has ever played Conkers. Ian Healy joins me this morning. Having spent 30 years working in the same job, a job he loved, he's decided to become a nurse. He's here to tell us how and why he's made this happen. How are you, Ian?
Good morning, Dermot. How are you?
Where are you from?
Clondalkin. Ballyferm as well. I know. I grew up in Clondalkin, went to school in Ballyfermot. I've worked all my life in Talla, so I kind of feel like maybe a bit of foot in each of them.
Yeah.
Maybe I grew up in the 76.
Have you ever played Conkers?
I have, as a child. Yeah. Listening to there, I think I might have baked them. Yeah, I think we did all try to do something to give them that extra bit of strength.
There was always one lad in your class who just had that special Conker skill.
I think he put glue on them or something. Yeah.
And on a cold morning, if they missed the other Conker and hit you on the knuckles, you knew all about it.
That was pain. I vaguely remember that.
Speaking of pain, you work in a hospital.
I do.
Yeah, and you've done it for 30 years as a porter.
Since I was 16. Started off as part-time in Adelaide, and then we moved to Talla University Hospital in 1998. And I've been there with them ever since. I actually brought in the second patient ever.
Into Talla Hospital?
Talla University Hospital. Oh. We're very careful on that one. Actually, the very first patient was also a porter. We have some trivia quizzes and that always comes up. He was a Mead porter, a CCU patient at the time. But
And so he ended up being the first patient.
The very first patient, yeah. I only know because we had our 25th year anniversary there, and Stephen, his name, he was a Mead porter. He came along to kind of do an interview with the hospital.
Talk to me about life as a porter. What does your day look like?
Every day is different because every day is surrounded with different patients. I primarily work in the endoscopy unit and have done for the last 20 years. That's my particular place. So
You're pushing people on trolleys, wheelchairs.
Yeah, so it's transportation. You're going for a camera test of some description, and I'll come up and collect you in the morning and bring you down for the test. I get to chat with the patients all day, and I love it. I love the patient interaction. People are a little nervous. We do our best to kind of help them settle and relax. And
I always wondered, do you get special training in that? Because you're interacting with people when they're in a very vulnerable position. They may have a lot on their mind.
Yeah.
They may be uncomfortable in a hospital anyway. They might be worried about, you know, potentially what's wrong with them. How do you know the right thing to say?
It's informal training. When you get hired, you have to be of a personal. You have to be comfortable around people. A lot of your job is interacting with people, and you have to so every patient's going to be different. Everybody's going to have something that's going on with them. You have to read the situation at all times, and you can ask very simple general questions, and you kind of probe to a degree and read the room. Some people want to really chat, they're nervous, and you go with that. Some people don't want this, so there's no real formal training. A lot of it is, now we've got incredible senior guys and girls that will give you children, you kind of watch them, but you build up your own style with people. And
so a lot of it's learned on the job.
Very much
it's
so.
It's an interesting dynamic as well, because I think you're having a conversation with these people, but you're not necessarily face to face. A lot of the time you'll be standing behind them if you're pushing. Or whatever way they're lying, they're generally looking away from you. Does that help you to communicate with them in a way?
Nothing that I've ever really given any serious thought to, but I am very conscious when we go into the lift with them, I'll never face them to the back or facing away from the doors. When I stand beside, we've settled in the lift, I'll always come to the side, so they can kind of look up. Again, you're kind of reading the room of the patient, and you're trying to, everything is just to to help them, keep them at as much ease as humanly possible. Mm. And if you can get into a kind of free-flowing conversation, kind of a bit of banter with them, that's part of it.
Because it's so important. You're probably the person that they will remember, weirdly, the most, because your interaction, if it's the conversation that put them at ease, that helped them feel relaxed, that, you know, calmed their anxieties or worries a little bit, that'll stay with them.
It definitely can. And I've over the years, because I've been there for so long, I've gotten a few letters over the years. Not to sound like we always have to, as healthcare professionals, understand that it might be a Monday morning for me or a Tuesday afternoon or whatever part of the week, but it might be the most important moment in their particular lives. So you always have to keep that in mind. And when you're talking with anybody of what you're doing, that it's a very crucial part of their, you know, they might have had a very traumatic incident, like a car crash or something going on with them. So yeah, you're always kind of aware what's going on.
How did you end up on the job?
It's a family job. I just followed the family. I think it was transition year. We had to do some form of work. I'd looked at maybe doing something with my uncles and my dad, who was a porter before me. He was the head porter in the Adelaide. And he said to me, do you want to come and work with me? And I said, okay.
He must have been very proud of his job, was he?
He was. Portering is a great job. It really, even to this day, I love what I do. If I was going into it today at 45, I would happily see out the next 20 years of my life doing it. I have to be very clear on that. I absolutely love my job and always have. I'm surrounded by some of the best men and women, because there's more women coming into the job now. They really are some of the most important people in my life that I've met.
It's interesting that it's primarily more a male job, or traditionally has been.
Traditionally.
Is that because you have to lift people in and out?
Yeah, it can be a fairly physically demanding job. You're going to do 25, 30,000 steps a day. That's every day, all day. Your feet are tired, but your body gets used to it. And then there is the lifting and...
What was the shift like? You were just over the weekend. Were you working over the weekend?
I was on Saturday night. I worked 12 hours in ED. It was a pretty hectic, normal, busy shift in our ED, demanding. Again, I could look at my phone, but I would say conservatively another 20, 30,000 steps. It's just my life. You come in. I'm just so, my body's so used to doing it.
But you love your job, clearly, and love it so much.
Yeah.
You're getting a new job.
Yes.
Why the step into nursing?
It's a complicated answer. It really is. I wish I had like a distilled that I could put it down to, but
there's a whisper in your gut.
Yeah. I lost my dad a year ago, and I think that was one of the biggest pivotal moments where I probably haven't taken as many risks in my life that I should have done, that I pushed myself on in. Because I've loved my job so much, I've been too comfortable in it. And over the last few years, I've been going to a number of retirement parties of guys that have done 20, 30, 40 years in the hospital as porters. And I've seen... I've heard the question over and over, any regrets? So that's kind of sunk into me, where I've seen, and there wasn't many from the guys. They've raised their families, they've bought their houses, they've lived good lives in their jobs as porters. But I wanted something more and I wasn't 100% sure. So I started investigating and I just kept coming back to nursing.
But I'm very sorry to hear about your dad. It sounds like you were very close to him.
Extreme. Well, I worked with him since I was 16. He was one of the head porters in the hospital. So, yeah. But it gave me a new emphasis to take risks, to try something new. I wanted something new. I've been looking at different things because I like to think I'm reasonably good at my job in endoscopy and A&E, and but I don't have any qualifications, and the jobs that I've been going for, like in different places like stores or different jobs within the hospital, people have lifetime experiences of different work. They might have worked in like forklift or licenses. They would have different
skill sets
more than me. I have my skill set and it's singular. Mm. So I had such a disadvantage when going for these jobs. And I have a great friend base in the hospital, and a few of them had said to me, would I consider nursing? Initially, absolutely not. I know just how hard nursing is, but I have two very close friends that Joe had said it to me, not convince me of it, but I've seen so many people go on to mature and have the most incredible careers over the last 20 years. And so, yeah, I kind of sunk in. And
do you think there was a little bit of imposter syndrome?
Very much so.
Thinking,
very much so.
Who am I to be thinking I could do that job?
Even telling people that, but Joe was grand. He, you know, one of my closest friends, but I was terrified to tell people in the hospital that I was considering going for this and that I'd even applied for it. But
why was that?
As you said, I'm Ian the Porter. People know me as what I am. I've been there for so long. People might have grown up around me. I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of person.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
That we're told to stay in our lane, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, very much so.
And the idea of stepping out,
yeah,
even though you feel maybe your dad nudging you in that direction, saying, go for it, son, that you can still feel that level of discomfort stepping into those new shoes, can't you?
And I could probably distill it down to maybe five categories of reactions. The vast, vast majority were, of course, go for it.
Yeah.
Ian the North. Yeah, I can see it. And then a lot of them, are you crazy? Are you insane?
You're onto a good thing.
Yeah, he says, don't do that. Do anything else. I mean, anything else.
But you're not listening to them, thankfully.
No.
And I know there's a scheme within the HSE that has sponsored you and other people working in hospitals who want to upskill. I think that's fantastic.
I think 30 of us this year were blessed to get it. And we all fought incredibly hard. You have to get into the top 10% of the aptitude test. I spent a year and a half getting ready for it. I had so many people. As soon as I kind of told people and it went wide, the amount of people that came out of the woodwork to help me and assist me and get ready for it. So, yeah, I spent a long time.
You spent 18 months preparing for the aptitude. You're
testing.
A man who likes to plan.
yes and no.
I like to be prepared.
I knew what was coming and I knew how difficult it was going to be. I haven't been in school since I was 18. I do my job and good at, I think, but academically I was terrified of the maths. There's three parts to it. Maths, word comprehension. I'm severely dyslexic. I couldn't read or write until I was 10, remedial of it. I went to Catherine McCauley's, the National School in Bagot Street. So I've always been terrified of my lack of capability when it comes to any kind of academic setting.
Well, then the preparation makes sense.
You wanted
to know what you were walking into.
I gave as much of myself as possible. And even it really started in January is when I kind of put my foot to the pedal with the training.
So you've just had a first week in Trinity, haven't you?
Yes.
And it's been going well?
Incredible.
Good man. There's some lovely texts coming in for you, Ian. Porters are a really crucial link in the chain at a sensitive time and can be very reassuring, says Paddy. My son works as a porter in University Hospital Waterford. It's not a week goes by when someone doesn't ring me to say thanks to him for how kind he was to them. Porters really can make the patient experience so much easier. They're unsung heroes. And someone says, Dermot, while being wheeled to the labour ward on my first child by a lovely man 40 years ago, was reassured by his words, "Don't worry, love, you'll fly through it. You're right, nine myself." he didn't have to actually give birth to them, though. You must feel enormously proud of yourself. Maybe a little bit nervous about what's ahead, but you must feel enormously proud.
I can't do that. There's maybe that's that imposter thing, but self-adulation, no. I'm delighted I'm doing it and going into Trinity. Like, I'm so aware of the privilege at 45 going back to college or going to college it's a dream. And I honestly think I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm just going to go back to work. And it's been, even in a week, it's been the best dream of my life.
Well, look, we wish you the very best of luck. Ian Healy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
I think you're going to make a fantastic nurse. We'll take a break.